Amen. So, you got it? We all got it then? Or do we know it all by now? I'm just asking, before any brother. So we all got it, no questions, no... Well, you did a good job. I'm going to just give more examples for you to look into the Bible to understand freedom and worship of what you said. The freedom is this: when God created everything, He gave full liberty to Adam and Eve. He says, from any tree you can eat. That's liberty. That's freedom. He didn't tell them, eat this tree at this time and eat that tree at that time. He even gave them the tree of life that they can eat from, right? There was no restriction, but there was restriction. So that's a freedom. You can enjoy every tree, every herb, but there's the restriction that if you're not going to obey the Lord, then right away you brought yourself into bondage. That's what freedom is. So let me connect it now with the worship, what the brother had mentioned. Why is it so important? I hope you took notice of that verse in Exodus chapter 10, the one that was quoted, and verse 26. You can read it at your own leisure just for time's sake. For we don't know. Now listen to this. Listen to how Moses is answering. Pharaoh is trying to tell him, well, leave the cattle, leave this, take this, don't take this, short distance. Moses said, man, you're putting creed and everything, the way, you're telling me the way we need to worship. But he said, listen, for we know not. Now listen to this carefully, because that's where the secret of freedom to worship is. For we know not how to serve or to worship the Lord until where? Until we get there. Brethren, there is nothing like the gathering on Lord's Day morning to come and worship. Because you know why? There is no man telling me what I need to do or what not I need to do. I sit quiet, or you sit, or maybe you can pray. There is no commandments that are given by man. The Lord brings me into liberty. And that liberty of worship is that I don't know, coming to the meeting, we need to do this in order to be counted worthy of worship. No. We don't know. We know not how to worship until we get there. It is the Spirit of God will bring us into that freedom to worship in the way He sees fit. And that's why sometimes in the meeting you see, maybe the Spirit of God was highlighting the Lord as a lamb. Maybe He was highlighting the Lord as a blessed God. Maybe He was highlighting what? Because He brought us into liberty. So let's not fall short and, you know, accept that a man is going to tell me what to do and don't say anything, it's only me. Let's, you said, give it up, right? Finish. It has to be the person and bring the one from those that will enjoy the freedom to come together to worship.
That's why we call it the worship meeting.
Yes.
On the Lord's Day. But is worship limited to that meeting?
And that's the point that I was thinking as John is speaking, as to whether or not there is a limitation just simply to when we come tomorrow morning. No.
No.
There's no limitation. I believe that there has to be that which is personal first before there can be that which is collective. I'm reminded of Deuteronomy 26, and as you were speaking, I turned to it. It brings out the matter of the first fruits that are supposed to be brought from the ground, and they're to be brought from your dwelling. Must be brought from your dwelling. I always remember, John, you had spoken once on Exodus 34, and this always stuck with me after you spoke about it, where it was the second time for the huge stones for the law, and you always made mention of, and be ready for the morning, and you emphasized the fact of just what engages our hearts on a Saturday evening. Before we prepare, before we come together on the Lord's Day morning, what engages the hearts? Everything except Christ. And then when I come on Lord's Day morning, I expect to be able to be in the spirit of worship. Well, it just doesn't happen. So it is what I bring from my dwelling. What have I been enjoying? What is it that I'm feasting on that becomes the essence and center of the response of worship tomorrow morning? But it is because I have been in the worshipful spirit so that I can come energized and actuated on by the occasion in responding worshipfully to the Lord.
And this freedom again is a regulated freedom. It is not the freedom of you do whatever you want to do. It is a freedom to do whatever He wants you to do. And this is the beauty of it, because the one who created you knows what works well. If you have a car, a computer, the one that made that computer is the only one that could tell you the best way to get the maximum out of that computer. He knows what will make that computer work right. Now, if you have your own idea of how to do things, you're going to mess it up. You're going to mess it up. Again, let's go back again to what we are saying. What we are saying is this. The freedom that you are given is given to you by the one who created you. And if you stray away from that, you're going to be in bondage. You're going to be enslaved. Brother John speaking about, we come together. We are so taken up with God. Remember, worship is not just saying certain words in a certain way, because that's, we always make that. Worship is, I'm going to say something. You might not say a word, and you will be a worshiper. At the workplace, at school, if you are taken up with God, and He's regulating your life, and you are doing that, you are worshiping. I never ever read with this American woman that she bowed down, and she said, I don't need any of that. She's a worshiper. She was taken up with Christ, and she went back and she said, come, here is a man. Abraham was a worshiper, because when God said to him, offer your son, he said, oh, wait a second, I'm trying to be emotional. He was incomplete. That's the only thing that he asked Abraham. He was waiting for that. He was waiting all his life for that. Finally, he had it. And then God said, no, I want it. See, God was everything for Abraham. Nothing was so dear for him. He was, you know what? A man who doesn't have any burden, who have nothing to lose, is a free man. The man who have nothing to lose is a free man. And what do I have to lose? What do I have in my life? If that is lost, and death is gained, that's what the Apostle Paul said. I have nothing to lose. I have everything to gain when I'm in Christ. But if you are in a world, people are afraid to die because they're going to lose something. People are afraid to, be rejected because they're going to lose something. You know what? If you are in Christ or you are accepted in Christ, there is no fear of rejection. There is no psychological problem. You are important in the eyes of God, no matter what the universe or the world is trying to do to you. It doesn't mean you're not in control. See, this is freedom. What I find amazing is I see people who are really terrified when the pain came over them. Really. And one time I was just sitting there and I was reading my Bible, and a person looked at me and said, I saw you reading your Bible, I thought we're going to have a crash. I said, no, I read the Bible all the time, I thought we're going to have a crash. He said, aren't you afraid of a crash? I said, no. And this whole idea, people are afraid. I'm not going to lose anything. Whatever, I don't know. I'm not gonna, what, life? That's the most important thing you have. If you lose it, it's gain. You see the freedom that you have in Christ, young people? Don't let the enemy enslave you. And then you could worship right, because that freedom is regulated by him. He tells you what to do. He tells you what to do. Moses said, I don't know. I don't know. When I go there, I go there. And I think the verse that Brother Mark mentioned in Exodus chapter 3. The knowing the God, the characteristic of Him. You know, with Abraham, He made you. He knows every cell in your body. He knows how your brain works. And He knows how you be good. If a doctor gives you a medicine, and said you take only one a day, and you decide, you know what, we take just five of them, so get it over with. Freedom, right? You think, but I'm the doctor. I know. No, you take one a day. And if you 8 hours, make sure you take it every hour. We accept these things in life. Why are we rejecting God who created us in the world? Do you want to be happy in your life? Do you know how to worship Him? Do you know what is the true Christianity is? It is freedom. That's all in the world. I hope your mind is clear and ready, because we're going to continue on that journey. Have a have questions, write them down, ask after. But please, just have your mind ready. Today might be the day. Kevin said it earlier. If the Lord leads us here 12 years from now, you might say, well, now is the day that I get rid of myself and I'm free.
So just to wrap that thought up in very plain, you mentioned to die is gain. The beginning of that is, for me to live is Christ. And so the woman said, I know that the Messiah cometh. And then the Lord Jesus said, I am he. I that speaketh am he. So this is, we talked about it, it's a relationship. It's knowing God. It's being adopted in him. In the lecture was mentioned that we come and all we think about are the distractions, the negative things. And I'm sure there's 60% or whatever of the young people here that, like me and like others, they come and Sunday morning, all they can think about are the bad things they've done in the past week. And all they can think about are the things that Satan's reminding us that hold us captive. And so we need to develop this relationship so that when we come Sunday, we have the first fruits. We have the things that we gather all weekend. So just very simply, the freedom to worship, I think, in part, is Christ. I am he. It's this relationship with him and getting below him to make him preeminent in our lives so that when we come on a Sunday morning, whether we're breaking bread, whether we're a male or a female, we can speak publicly or not, we have worship for him. We have something to offer back to him. We're not enslaved by whatever thoughts we have. It's developing this relationship and returning something to him. And so, unfortunately, we're out of time.